have changed. Or have they? When I was coming up, children played with toys and they also played with each other. Some played cowboys and Indians, and others played house. But regardless of the game, there was always that someone telling others how the game should be played. No, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to do thus and so. When I do this, you do that. There was always that one individual whose fantasy or belief would dominate. And after receiving too many instructions, one by one, the players would drop out, and the game was over. Now, as adults, we all want to exercise dominion in our lives. And yet, for many of us, the concept of dominion still means domination and control. We believe that we must be the driving force for whatever we're involved with. And we believe that we must be in charge of everybody and that all the activities must pass muster with us. But there's nothing spiritual about domination. In fact, it's repressive. Domination suppresses freshness and newness. It exploits innocence, and it oppresses creativity. Spiritual dominion is neither mental domination nor the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Spiritual dominion means ye being in charge of you. Spiritual dominion is the ability to fulfill whatever purpose you may have in life. Now, fortunately, or maybe unfortunately, we do not get to fulfill our purpose in life in a vacuum. While fulfilling our purpose, we have responsibilities to others, and we are responsible for others. We must continue interacting with the world, and often that's what trips us up. Because we find ourselves judging others, and it's not that we want to judge them, it's because we want them to help us fulfill our purpose. And they are not doing it. They are not doing what we want them to do. So we have temper tantrum after temper tantrum. Well, the news is that they have a purpose in life too. In the Revelation, when the angel of Ephesus was experiencing similar problems, the Christ said, "Hey, I know you're working hard and you haven't given up, but here's your problem. You have actually become so obsessed with identifying everybody else's shortcomings that you've forgotten your purpose in life. While you're being mindful of what others are doing and saying, your spiritual life is lacking. You're moving farther and farther away from your center. And if you're not careful, you will lose sight of your spiritual life altogether. In other words, what is that to be? Dominion is about maintaining spiritual balance under all circumstances and conditions. Now, a couple of months ago, the world paid homage to Nelson Mandela. Celebrating his life, dignitaries spoke of his sheer audacity, his courage, and his ability to forgive his detractors. Tomorrow, we in this country will celebrate the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King. When we think of Dr. King, we usually think of him as leader of the civil rights movement. Yet, at some point, we must consider what was required for him to lead a movement which attracted so much overt opposition. Now, we know both Mandela and King succeeded by exercising dominion. So let's take a moment to see how dominion acts, how it works. About a year or so ago, I was watching a C-SPAN program which featured a lecture by Julian Bond on Dr. King. And during the lecture, he shared a speech which Dr. King gave in Chicago, where he spoke about the evolution of his understanding. In the speech, Dr. King admitted that he had inherited his religion. He said he had never experienced God for himself. He had simply followed tradition. You see, his father was a minister, and his father's father was a minister. And his father's father's father was a minister. So there was simply no doubt in his mind that he would become a minister. And both he and his brothers were ministers. And he had done well, he said. He had completed his studies at the university and had been called to the church in Montgomery, Alabama. All things had gone well for him there. He said it was a marvelous experience. However, while he was still pretty new to the city, he was selected to head up the group for the Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott. Now, initially they had thought that the boycott would last for only a day or two, and then they would be able to call and negotiate. But the boycott had gone on for weeks and then for months. And as the boycott continued, he began receiving phone calls threatening his life and the life of his family. And he says he took it for a while because he knew he had to be strong. On this one particular night, however, he was out of bed drinking coffee because he had just received another phone call threatening his life and the life of his family. And this call made a deep impression on him. He was afraid. He said as he sat there drinking coffee, he realized that he needed answers. There was so much meanness and hatred, and he didn't know how to deal with it. So his mind drifted back to his university studies, trying to find a theological and philosophical reason for the existence of evil. And he received no answer. He said he couldn't call on Daddy because Daddy was miles away. He knew that he needed inner power to help him through the experience. For once, he realized that he had to know God for himself. Now, no matter how long we've been Christians, no matter how long we have attended church, listening to message after message, lesson after lesson, we all reach a point where we know we must need know God for ourselves. That we can no longer rely on what other people tell us. When theory and philosophy and church doctrine are not sufficient. And this is not a simple issue. In fact, it's a real dilemma. Because you see, we're taught that the kingdom of God is within us. But we already have secret thoughts and unspoken beliefs and unexpressed desires which we think are within us, and there's no God in any of them. So exactly where is God? And why, how do we find God? Now, Jeremiah tells us that we will seek God and find him, and we shall search for him with all our heart. And you see, regardless of how crude and coarse our lives have been, we have all experienced some aspect of God at some time in our lives. You know, coming into this teaching, we're all excited because it speaks to something within us. However, after a couple of laps around the track, we can all pinpoint the problem areas. And you'll hear complaints and criticism. The problem's the same for each one of us. We're all expecting others to help us fulfill our purpose in life. We can see the speck in our brother's eye, but we can't see the plank in our own eye. But what our brother knows and does has nothing to do with us. Our purpose in life, it has nothing to do with our dominion. Yet our dominion has everything to do with how we treat our brother. You see, when coming into a teaching such as divine science, I can guarantee you that you're not here for the social life. I can guarantee you that you're not here out of tradition. You are here because the teaching agrees with something you feel within you. Maybe you can't express it, but it is expressed in the teaching. What you feel has nothing to do with what others are doing. It's solely about the me and you. And that which you feel is the source of your dominion. It can't be taken away by anybody out here. It cannot be taken away by anything anybody does out here. It is within you. Probe it. Question it. Search for it with all your heart. Now, we know that dominion is not about dominating others. Because Nelson Mandela realized his dominion while in jail, with no one to dominate or to judge. He exited the jail after 27 years with his dominion intact. It was expressed as the ability to love his enemies. You see, God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Now we know that dominion is not about finding the theological or philosophical reason for the existence of evil, because you cannot know God while seeking the philosophical or theological reason for the existence of evil. You cannot know God while considering evil in any way, because opposites do not commingle. If it is not good, if it is not righteous, why are you probing it? Why are you dissecting it? Why are you analyzing it? Dr. King realized the futility of that rather quickly. Dr. King realized his dominion while he was on the world stage, face facing relentless opposition in front of cameras. Having experienced the truth and having learned to live from that truth, he announced to the whole world, "I'm not worried anymore. I've been to the mountaintop." You see, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For all of us here today, the ability to exercise our dominion has nothing to do with what anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter. Where did Nelson Mandela find the understanding he needed to forgive his detractors? He found it within himself, by himself. Had Dr. King gotten hung up on what the opposition was saying and doing, he would have been drawn away from his life's purpose, and we would not have reached the mountaintop. But instead of trying to analyze the hatred, he turned within to realize the truth. It was the only way to reach the mountaintop. Each one of us has a purpose in life, and each one of us has dominion. We're not here to lean on each other. We are here to support each other. We are not here to play the victim. We are here to be of service. And it may be difficult when one has spent most of his or her life in the physical and mental awareness, because it's difficult then to understand how we can affect changes in our living and our environment without the five senses, without saying something, going somewhere, or manipulating someone. Yet, the most powerful aspect of our being is the Spirit of God within us. Spirit, which has no form. That invisible inner experience which drew us to this teaching. It's still viable. That feeling within, which drew you to this teaching, which captures the attention of your whole being, is the Spirit of God, which doeth the work. Take time with it. Relax in it. Embrace it, even as it embraces you, making you feel so special and appreciated. It's the presence and power of God. It is your dominion, alive in consciousness. Abide in it. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so it is. Let us now prepare for the closing meditation. There is nothing too great. The spirit of love and wisdom is here within us. Let us be still to abide in it. Father, for thy love, for the perfection of this life, we thank thee. For thou hast crowned us with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under our feet, our emotions, our fears, our trepidations. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, for thy presence in our lives, both seen and unseen, we thank thee. And so it is. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.